Alrighty, what's going on, beautiful people, and welcome back to another episode of the Trent Corville Show. I am him. I greatly appreciate everybody joining us here on this beautiful, beautiful Saturday morning. And ladies and gentlemen, the tournament has passed. We are going into NBA playoffs. I've never been more excited for an NBA playoffs. Personally, I think this is going to be one of the more interesting playoffs that we've seen, especially in the Eastern Conference, having a team like Brooklyn be the seventh seed. If they go on and get to the finals, the entire landscape of the NBA is going to be changed forever. It's going to be absolutely crazy to watch. But we are in NBA playoffs time, and we are also, as we speak right now, less than 2 weeks away from the NFL draft. And I got to be honest with you folks, this NFL draft doesn't excite me as much as last year, because you got to think of who we had last year, especially in the quarterback realm coming out. We had Trevor Lawrence. We had Zach Wilson. We had Justin Fields. We had Trey Lance. We had Mac Jones. And then we had Devontae Smith, Jalen Waddle, guys like that. Everybody came out that year. So it was so exciting to watch and see who would go where, what teams would make moves. This draft is a little interesting because we've heard about this draft class for the last couple years, it feels like, that the 2022 quarterback class especially is going to be very, very weak. And I agree with it. There's not the standouts that you see, you know, in the last year's draft or previous drafts. I mean, think back to the Deshaun Watson, Patrick Mahomes, and Lamar Jackson draft. I mean, unbelievable right there. And you could say, even though they haven't had as quick a success as those guys, that the 2021 draft class was as good as that 2017 draft class. But right now, the 2022 quarterback class is a little interesting. But I tell you what, the offensive linemen, the defensive linemen, the corners, and the wide receivers are amazing. All of them are incredible, and you know I like to talk wide receivers, so we're going to get into a couple today that I hope some teams will move up to get, because we've seen in the last couple years a trend of young wide receivers, a la Justin Jefferson, a la Ja'Marr Chase, obviously both coming out of LSU, but they're 22, 21-year-olds putting up 1,400 yards in a singular season. They're rookie seasons, 14-plus touchdowns. We've never seen that kind of production early on. I mean, besides, you know, Randy Moss, right? That was kind of the last guy we saw that came in and made an immediate impact. And it seems like every year, I mean, this year alone, Jalen Waddle really came into his own for the Miami Dolphins. He looks like a true blue number one wide receiver. We've seen that very early on in these guys' careers. You ask about the development. Are they just different? It's called evolution, folks. It's called evolution. These guys are bigger, faster, stronger, more athletic. They have access to more, you know, health and nutrition things that can really prepare their bodies for the NFL draft. And that's the most important key here when you look at the wide receivers. But back to the quarterbacks real quick, because you have Malik Willis out of Liberty. You have Kenny Pickett out of Pittsburgh. You have Desmond Ridder out of Cincinnati. Sam Howell out of North Carolina. Matt Corral out of Ole Miss. And you hear those names, you say, oh, okay, this isn't a bad class. But when you look at the tape, it's just much different from a Justin Fields and a Trevor Lawrence and a Mac Jones, even a Trey Lance, even though I was not high on him whatsoever coming out of the draft. It's going to be interesting to see what San Francisco does. Will they keep Jimmy Garoppolo, or will they go to their, you know, draft pick who they traded away two first-round picks to get the number third pick to take Trey Lance? Are you going to keep him on the bench for another year? It's going to be interesting. But these guys in the quarterback class this year, I wouldn't say any of them are day one starters. Now, some of them are going to have to be. That's just what the NFL is. It's like throwing Drew Lock in there week one for the Denver Broncos when he came out. He was not ready. We knew he wasn't ready, but they threw him out there. There's going to be a couple guys this year that are like that. I think Malik Willis will be one of those guys. I think Kenny Pickett will be one of those guys. And I think Desmond Ridder will be day one starters coming into the NFL. And personally, I think it might hurt them. I really do. So if we look at the top 10 here, obviously the Jacksonville Jaguars, year after year after year, get the number one overall pick. They're the worst franchise in the NFL, but it's going to be interesting to see. They obviously have Trevor Lawrence. Great, great pickup last year. Interesting that they paid Christian Kirk $84 million to come be their number one wide receiver when he was the number three wide receiver in Arizona. Interesting move there by Trent Baalke, but nothing surprises me with the Jacksonville Jaguars. Nothing. They got a couple guys on defense. They have a new head coach, Doug Peterson, so that's going to be interesting to watch. But Jacksonville is going to go defensive lineman here. That's what they need. They need a pass rusher, and you have a guy sitting at that number one spot like Aiden Hutchinson. Now, Aiden Hutchinson was a Heisman Trophy candidate coming out of Michigan, 14 and a half sacks last year, an absolute dog. And he's kind of, I wouldn't say the prototypical defensive lineman, but when you look at guys like a T.J. Watt, like the Bosa brothers, you know, J.J. Watts, he's kind of got that build where he's not going to beat you necessarily with speed, but he's got finesse, he's got power, he's very technically sound, and that's what you want. But there's been some movement here with a guy by the name of Trayvon Walker. Now, if you remember who Trayvon Walker is, number 44 for the Georgia Bulldogs. This guy is an absolute monster, an absolute freak. We've seen Georgia before. Obviously, they win the national championship this year. That defense is the reason they won the national championship. They have first rounders littered across their starting 11 last year. It was unbelievable to watch, but we've seen Aiden Hutchinson was a lock for the first pick in the draft this year. It was an absolute lock. And now we're hearing reports. And yes, right now, folks, don't believe everything you see on Twitter when it comes to reporting and teams, because this is smokescreen season. We are 2 weeks away from the NFL draft. Teams are going to put some things out there. They're going to text their insiders and say, hey, we're thinking about doing this, when really they're thinking about doing something else, but they want to put that information out there to send a smokescreen. I get got all the time on Twitter, all the time. I'll read a story from an insider, Ian Rappaport, you name it, whoever, Tom Pelissero, The Arrow. I mean, he'll put out a report. I'll read and be like, oh my goodness, this is about to happen. And then another team will put out the same report. It's like, okay, what are we doing here? Can we get some clarity on who the first pick in the draft is going to be? But look for Jacksonville to take a defensive lineman. Would that either be Aiden Hutchinson or Trayvon Walker? I have no clue. It seems like the Jacksonville Jaguars like to go athletic. Obviously, when they took Miles Jack in the first round a couple of years back, super athletic. He played running back and linebacker for UCLA. So I would see them going Trayvon Walker, and he's got good value right now to go number one, plus 300. But I think it'd be silly if Jacksonville didn't take Aiden Hutchinson. But with the second pick in the draft, right now the Detroit Lions are sitting there. Aiden Hutchinson, a Michigan kid, went to Michigan, grew up in Michigan. It would make sense if he went to the Lions, okay? But we are hearing information that potentially Dan Campbell and the Detroit Lions would like to take a quarterback potentially. Now, is this a smokescreen? I haven't been able to figure out. Because Dan Campbell, yeah, you have Jared Goff, but let's remember, the Detroit Lions are paying Jared Goff $30 million to be their quarterback. They have the second pick in the draft. You're paying a guy $30 million a year to be their quarterback. You won two games last year, if I'm not mistaken. Not great. Not great. That's not what you want from your starter, right? So if they take a guy like Malik Willis, it'll be interesting. But personally, if I'm drafting in the top 10 here and I need a quarterback, I'm not taking a quarterback because I don't trust Malik Willis. I don't trust Kenny Pickett. I don't trust Desmond Ridder, Matt Corral, Sam Howell, you name it. Whoever's in this draft, I don't trust them to take my franchise to the next level. Now, the guy with the most upside when it comes to the quarterback position has to be Malik Willis. It has to be. I thought he was a lot taller. I guess, you know, he played at Auburn, doesn't get playing time at Auburn, so he transfers out and goes to Liberty. And now he's potentially a top 10 pick in the NFL draft. He's about 6 feet tall, 6'1", maybe in cleats. And, you know, he can run. He's got a massive arm, as we saw, you know, during the pro day. He has a massive arm. We know that, all right? And the comparison has always been, oh, Malik Willis, you know, he's like a Michael Vick. He's like a potential Marcus Mariota. I think the ceiling for him would have to be, yeah, we want him to be as good as Michael Vick did. And I know the Atlanta Falcons sitting there with the 8th pick in the draft, they obviously, you know, trade Matt Ryan away to the Colts, and now they have Marcus Mariota playing quarterback for them. But if you want a guy potentially just to go all in, and maybe he's not your day one starter, you have that, you know, piece in Marcus Mariota, you might be able to take Malik Willis with that 8th pick. I would feel a little better because you have Marcus Mariota there potentially to learn from. They're both athletic. They both have decent arms. So it's going to be interesting to see with Malik Willis. I wouldn't take any of them. I mean, the Carolina Panthers, we can talk about them for a minute because they have more holes to fill than you know, a boat that's sinking. I mean, it's unbelievable. It's unbelievable. They have the 6th pick in the NFL draft. They have no offensive line. Christian McCaffrey, who knows if he'll be healthy ever again. I mean, we have no idea what's going to happen. The defensive line is good. That's it. That's a start. Awesome, Panthers. You got a decent defensive line. I think they're, you know, top 15. Woohoo. That's not going to win you anything, but woohoo. You have okay linebackers. Not great linebackers, but okay linebackers. We just got news that Stephon Gilmore, starting cornerback for the Carolina Panthers, has signed with the Colts. So now you have a hole to fill with the cornerback position. And yes, you drafted J.C. Horn out of South Carolina with the 8th overall pick last year, but he was hurt the entire season. So are you hoping that he's going to have a standout season and he can be your true number one corner? Or instead of taking a quarterback in the first round, which it looks like the Carolina Panthers are going to take Kenny Pickett, all right? And I don't want to harp on Kenny Pickett. I don't want to be mean to Kenny Pickett. But if you look at the numbers, he's got great yards. 4,200 yards last year. Awesome. 42 touchdowns. 7 interceptions. I love that. I think that's awesome, all right? But you look at the fumbles, you look at his hand size, and you look at where he played, all right? And I know people saying, oh, you can't take anything from the hand size. Oh, no, you can. Oh, no, you can. All right? Because you watch Tom Brady. You watch Aaron Rodgers. They engulf the football. They have that thing all the way around their hand. And it's very evident. Look at a guy like Daniel Jones. Daniel Jones for the New York Giants fumbles more. He had 11 fumbles in the last two seasons as a quarterback. 11 fumbles. You know what his hand size was? 9.5. 9.5. You know what Kenny Pickett's is? 8.5. 8.5 inches. And he wears 2 gloves. You know why he wears 2 gloves? Kenny 2 gloves. That's what we call him. You know why he wears 2 gloves? Because of his hand size. All right? I don't trust a guy who wears 2 gloves, has small hands, to be a top 10 pick in the NFL draft. And people say, oh, Joe Burrow. Joe Burrow won a national championship, went undefeated, and threw 60 touchdowns for almost 6,000 yards in his senior season. Let's not make that comparison, okay? He won the Heisman Trophy. Let's not start making that comparison. Joe Burrow, yeah, he's got 9-inch hands. He just went to the Super Bowl. Let's not start doing that, all right? Joe Burrow's different than Kenny Pickett. And also Pittsburgh. I understand they're in the ACC. They won the ACC last year. They had a great season. They had a good wide receiver that's catching footballs for Kenny Pickett. But if he's going to be your next guy, personally, I would wait till next year's draft. I would wait till next year's draft if you're looking for a true franchise quarterback. Because next year coming out of the draft, you got C.J. Stroud from Ohio State. You got Bryce Young from Alabama, Heisman Trophy winner. And I'll even throw my guy in there. I saw this morning on Get Up, next year's draft class, you know who's ranked 3rd overall? Sam frickin' Hartman. 3rd overall next year's draft class. Attababy. Attababy, let's go. Let's be a first rounder, all right? Let's be a first rounder. I absolutely love it. But Carolina, I think it would suit them quite honestly if they took a guy like Evan Neal. Evan Neal out of Alabama, he's an offensive tackle. He can play guard if he needs to, but he's 6'7", 337 pounds, ran a sub-4.940, which shouldn't even be possible for a man of his size and stature. And yet, the Carolina Panthers are shooing him away. They're shooing Icky Woods away from North Carolina State. Yeah, they're shooing all the best tackles away to go after a quarterback. And I don't understand it. Now, you might ask, what's the infatuation for the Carolina Panthers with Kenny Pickett? What is that mix right there? I don't understand. Well, when Matt Rhule, now NFL head coach, was at Temple, Kenny Pickett committed to Matt Rhule and Temple as a high school quarterback, okay? He decommitted and ended up going to Pittsburgh after Matt Rhule went to Baylor. So they have a connection already. And if you look at the decision-making with Matt Rhule over the last couple years, he brought all of his coaches in from Baylor and Temple and, you know, tried to make them NFL coaches. Newsflash, ready? Hello, breaking news. That doesn't work. That will never work, all right? You need to get seasoned guys who've been in the NFL for a long time who know how the operation works. Let's not bring in guys who were coaching at Temple and start having them coach grown men in the NFL. It's just not going to work out. But the Carolina Panthers, no surprise if they take Kenny Pickett. Don't be surprised, Panthers fans, if they take Kenny Pickett. I hate the pick. I hate it. I hate it more than anything because you have to get a tackle first. You have to get an offensive line first. If you want Christian McCaffrey to be productive in your offense, you have to open up run lanes. That's just what it is. You can't have him running smack dab into the defensive line or linebackers every single play and hoping that he just bounces to the outside and scores a touchdown. No, you need to open up running lanes. Look at Jonathan Taylor with the Indianapolis Colts. The Indianapolis Colts have the best offensive line in football, no question. Probably have the best lineman in football in Quentin Nelson, their guard. Those run lanes that are open for him, you could put a semi-truck through those run lanes. That's why he put up 1,900 yards and almost 20 touchdowns. Christian McCaffrey can't do anything. You have to continuously put him out in the slot. You have to, you know, put him on swing routes just to get him the football because you have no offensive line. None. And if you want to beat the New Orleans Saints who have Cam Jordan, you want to beat the Tampa Bay Buccaneers whose defense is absolutely incredible, you're going to have to make those moves. And if you don't make those moves, you're going to fall behind very quickly. And newsflash, you're going to get your new franchise quarterback who wears two gloves, Kenny Two Gloves, you're going to get him killed. Look at the Bengals. Look at the Bengals 2 years ago with Joe Burrow. Lucky he's alive. When they drafted him and he came in, they had the worst offensive line in the NFL. He tore his ACL 10 games into the season. He took more hits than any quarterback. He's different, though. He's different up in the head. And we've all heard that. We've all seen that. Rob Gronkowski said he's Tom Brady 2.0. Let's not go that far. Let's not go that far. But the guy's a killer. Kenny Pickett, not a killer. From at least what I've seen, not a killer. He's not Joe Burrow. He can't sit back there and get sacked next year 85, 90 times and think that you're going to turn around your franchise. You need to go get an offensive lineman, and you need to do it with a 6 pick. Or Carolina, this is another thing about Carolina. They have this number 6 overall pick. They don't have another pick until the 4th round. So if you really want to build a team, build a roster, Matt Rhule, maybe trade out of this 6 pick for a couple more picks, maybe a late first rounder, a second rounder, don't need the third, go ahead with the fourth, instead of just taking a quarterback and saying, all right, we're going to wait till day 3 until we can, you know, take a wide receiver. Carolina's screwed. They're absolutely screwed. If they take Kenny Pickett, it's going to be laughable here. It's going to be absolutely laughable. So there is potential, folks, that Kenny Pickett and Malik Willis go in the top 10. There's also potential that the Seattle Seahawks with the 9th overall pick also take a quarterback. And that quarterback, Desmond Ridder. I love Desmond Ridder. Out of every quarterback in this draft, I would take Desmond Ridder over all of them. He took Cincinnati to the college football playoff, only lost 2 games in his college football career, and I understand the conference they're in. I'm very hard on Cincinnati because of the conference that they play in. Same with Liberty. That's why I don't trust Malik Willis. Who do you play? You think you're a great talent? You're an athletic freak. You have a phenomenal arm. If you can get under, you know, the reins of a good coach that can teach you for a couple years, kind of like, I'm not comparing him to Aaron Rodgers, but Aaron Rodgers sat behind Brett Favre for 3 years. And I know the Packers are trying to do that with Jordan Love. I don't think he is anywhere near Brett Favre and Aaron Rodgers level, but sit him behind a veteran quarterback that can potentially, he can learn from, he can get his knowledge up of the game, and then eventually put him in and let him be a superstar. He's got the most superstar potential out of any of these guys, but I don't trust him because of the competition. Same with Desmond Ridder. I don't really trust him because of the competition, but what we saw from the combine, I've watched some film on him. I think he is a good quarterback. I think he can step in and not win you football games, but keep you from losing football games, if that makes any sense. He's not going to make too many mental errors because he was a 3.5-year starter at Cincinnati. He's got time under his belt, and that's very, very important. I could see him going 9 to Seattle. I really could. Seattle, it's going to be interesting to see if they get Baker Mayfield. They got Drew Locke. I don't understand what they're going to do with him. I think DK Metcalf might be on the move. That's another thing, too. This wide receiver market is unbelievable, and that's why I love the wide receiver draft class. Because every wide receiver in the NFL now, if you've put up over 1,200 yards in a season and, you know, 10-plus touchdowns, you want $20 million a year. And I get it. Look, hey, I'm pro player, always. I'm always pro player. Go make as much money as you possibly can in your NFL career. Go do it. Why would I sit here and say, that man doesn't deserve as much money? That man doesn't deserve as much money. I'm not talking about another man's money. Go get it. Go get it, baby. I'm all for it. But when DK Metcalf is sitting there and being like, yeah, I need 25 a year. All right. What have you done? Are you a true number one? How long will this last? Debo Samuel. Now, Debo Samuel is a different case because he plays running back and wide receiver. Give him whatever he wants. Give Debo Samuel $30 million a year. I don't care. But DK Metcalf could be on the move from Seattle because he wants that contract. Seattle doesn't really want to extend him just yet. It's going to be interesting to watch. And also, his numbers are going to be nowhere near the same as they were with Russell Wilson. That's why I said a couple weeks ago when Devontae Adams got traded from the Packers. I mean, I still don't know how that happened. I don't know how that happened. When he got traded from the Packers, though, my first thought was, oh, his numbers are going to go down. No doubt about it. I love Davante Adams. He did so many great things for Green Bay. So many great things. The connection of Adams and Rodgers was unguardable. Those fade routes, those back shoulder fades, nobody could guard him. But Davante Adams, when he goes to Vegas and thinks Derek Carr, college roommate, college teammate, I understand that. If you think you're going to put up the same production, I don't know what you're smoking, but I want it. Because it's unbelievable to think that Davante Adams could have another 1,500-yard season with 14 touchdowns. It's very difficult for me to think that with Derek Carr as your quarterback. So that's going to be interesting. But speaking of the wide receivers, I love this wide receiver class. Absolutely love it. I loved last year's class. I love the year before class. I love this wide receiver class. And there's a lot of guys in here that have what we're hearing. And again, smokescreen season, so be careful. But what we're hearing, a lot of them have top 10 potential. A lot of them. Garrett Wilson out of Ohio State, 4-3 guy, runs very, very crisp routes. He's the Jamar Chase, Justin Jefferson type body that you want. That can run. They can make every catch. They can run every route in the route tree. It's important. You got Chris Olave, also from Ohio State. If the Packers don't take Chris Olave, I'm going to be very disappointed because I've watched this guy for 3 years now. I've never seen a receiver be so calm, so patient on the football field, and make every catch. Run after the catch is unbelievable. It's crazy. It's crazy what these guys can do. And interesting to note here, folks, two guys you need to watch. Two guys outside of Garrett Wilson and Chris Olave and Drake London from Southern California. Newsflash for everybody. I'm out on Drake London. Completely out on him. He's had injury history his entire time. He's a big body. He's 6'4". He's 220. I get it. He can run a little bit. Not my guy. He's got hamstring problems. He's had ACL problems. Not my guy. I can't do it. Don't take him in the top 10. A lot of people think the New York Jets might take him with a 4th overall pick. Classic New York Jets, if that's the case. What do we expect from the New York Jets every year? We expect something like that. I also expect the Packers, who just signed Sammy Watkins yesterday, to do some... You know, I read a report about the receivers in this class, and the two guys I think everybody should be watching, Jameson Williams and John Metchie, both from Alabama. Both tore their ACLs last year. That's a problem, obviously. But last year, Jalen Waddle tore his ACL during the season, went 6 overall. These guys are different. Alabama receivers are different. They're like the Ohio State guys. Watch them, because there's a chance that they might sneak up into this top 10. I would not be surprised whatsoever. The Jets have two picks in the top 10. They have the 10th pick and the 4th pick. That 10th pick, I wouldn't be surprised if they take Jameson Williams. Wouldn't be surprised whatsoever with that 10th pick. People are going to say, what, he just tore his ACL in the college football playoff? How could you take a guy like that? He's going to recover. He's an athletic freak. He's faster than everybody on the football field. And what do you need in the NFL today? All of these wide receivers in this class have over-the-top speed. There was 8 wide receivers at the combine this year that ran sub-4.440s. 8 of them. All of the guys I've talked about all ran sub-4.440s. Jameson Williams and John Metchie didn't run. They would have ran probably 4.35 and under. They are that fast. Hey, I need you to run 50 yards down the field as fast as you possibly can. And I'm going to throw you the football. It's going to be in a breadbasket. You just have to beat the guy. That's what the NFL is kind of turning into now. I absolutely love it, by the way. I absolutely love it. That's how football should be. Let's run. Go. I love that. Now we go. We go. That's what I love about Jameson Williams and Chris Olave and Garrett Wilson. They are guys who, if you look at them, you're running a 40-yard post route. You got a corner and a safety over top. I trust them to get past both of them. That's why they might be top 10 picks. But Jameson Williams and John Metchie will be phenomenal pros. All of these wide receivers will have an immediate impact. And the Packers better not take the kid from North Dakota State, Christian Watson. Look, I get it. There's this kid, wide receiver, goes to North Dakota State. I don't understand all the hype with North Dakota State anymore. I really don't. We saw how Carson Wentz worked out. We're seeing how Trey Lance is working out. Are we going to keep trusting these guys? He's a wide receiver. He's 6'4". He ran a 4.35. People are saying the Packers are going to take him in the first round. Of course, that's what they would do. No surprises there. That's what they would do. But he's a guy, Christian Watson, to watch. He's a guy that might climb up, continue to climb up. Apparently, he's been killing the interviews. He killed his combine. He killed his pro day. So we'll have to see if he jumps up. But this draft, folks, is going to be very interesting. Next week, I will give you my top 16 picks. So we're going to go 1 through 16, go through them, and I'll give other picks I think will also happen in the first round, but I don't want to give all 32. There's a lot of O-linemen sprinkled in there, D-linemen, that I don't really know about that personally I don't care about. I don't care about the Iowa center. I know he's great, but at the end of the day, he's going to go. He's going to fit right into whatever offense that they run. He's going to snap the football. I'm curious about the quarterbacks, the wide receivers, some of the D-linemen, and the corners to see where they go. We will track that next week. I greatly appreciate everybody joining us here today. Make sure you subscribe to the podcast, give us a 5-star rating, and be a friend, see a friend, tell a friend, share it with a friend, and I will see you all next Saturday. Peace and love.